children's ministry. This would include student ministries. If you are an adult volunteer that's working in that or a leader in some capacity, on August 28th from 6 to 8 p.m., we are having a training for all of us together. And so this is actually a really important time for us to gather together as we head into the fall, head into the school year. And it gives us a bit of a momentum even as leaders in saying, hey, I know you, and you're working in this area, right? And it also gives us a chance to say, hey, what are we about this year as a church? So if you are a ministry leader, mark it on your calendars and be there. Okay. Before we jump into our sermon series this morning, I just want to take another brief moment and pray. Father, I thank you that you are a good God and that you are here with us this morning. And so, Father, I pray that as we're sitting here, as we're spending time in the book of Colossians, that you would open our hearts to hear from you, that even the words that I speak, Father, that you would help us to hear what you have for us. And Father, I pray that you would guide us in what that means for our life as we spend time with you today and as we spend time with you this week and the rest of our lives, we pray in your name. Amen. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Steve. I'm the Associate Pastor of Discipleship here at the Evangelical Free Church. And I'm excited to be back up here again sharing God's word this morning. Now, if you're joining us for the first time or maybe you've been gone for a little bit, we're nearing the end of our series called Above All. And we've been working through Paul's letter to the Colossian church in the New Testament as he reveals to this group of believers and to us as well what it means for Jesus to be above all in every area of our life and in our identity. And this includes us as a church community, which includes GREFC, us here this morning, as well as individual followers of Jesus. Now, today, as we begin to dig into what Paul's saying, he actually begins to take a turn in his focus. Up to this point, Paul has been focused on developing healthy church community. And so even as he's been talking to this Colossian church, we've been asking the question, what does this mean for us as GREFC? And he's been also focused on developing the health of individuals' relationship within the church with each other, with the end goal of us as individuals and as a community of becoming like Jesus. Now, Paul begins to call the church as a whole and as individuals to pursue the mission of Jesus. He takes a turn, pursue the mission of Jesus, focusing on Jesus becoming above all in the lives of others. See, Paul's widening his focus this morning from our relationships within the church, and he's adding on to that our relationships with friends outside the church who don't know and love Jesus yet. So let's dive in this morning, and we're going to start by looking at Colossians 4:2. And if you have your Bible with you, or maybe you have a Bible app on your phone, I would encourage you to turn there and follow along with us, and maybe even mark up notes as you're going. And it will also be up on the screen as well. Here's what it says. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray for us. And he's referring to himself, Paul, that God may open the door for us for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Now, just a moment ago, before we even read these verses, I pointed out that Paul's turning his focus here, and he's turning it from what's happening inside the church, the relationships between believers and as individuals, and now he's beginning to focus on what does it mean for us as a community and individuals to be about the mission of Jesus. And the switch happens in verse 3, but before we get there, we actually have to look at verse 2. Now, in the past few weeks, we've been talking about how as followers of Jesus, disciples of him, we're called to let Jesus be above all in our relationships. And it started with Paul unpacking the kinds of relationships and even attitudes that we're supposed to have with one another as a church. And it's because of the relationship that we have with Jesus. See, all of our relationships are to be filled with, modeled after, and even ruled by God where he gets the right to decide, even in how we respond to others on what is right and what is fair. And we're, the calling on our lives as a community is that we're to grow in love and in oneness, reflecting the love of the God the Father and the Son by the Spirit. We as a community reflect God. And so Paul, after describing all of these attitudes and some of the characteristics that we are to be about and put on as a church community who follows Jesus, Paul sums it up like this in Colossians 3, 14 and 15. And he says this, "And above all of these things, all of these attitudes, characteristics, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful." See, just like Jesus changes and he empowers and gets the right to decide what is fair and what is not in our relationships as a church, he does the same in our relationships with family and even work. And so we actually are just finishing up a section where we spend a couple of weeks looking at what does it mean for Jesus to be above all? And Paul spells it out specifically in our relationships as husbands and wives, as fathers and kids, and as bosses and workers. And now, after looking at the importance of Jesus being above all in all of those relationships, Paul turns and he starts talking about prayer. Now, if you are a student in the student ministries, I actually need your help here. Okay. There is a really important question that we need to ask. And we ask it all the time. What, any of you know, what is that question? Why? Why is absolutely, why prayer? Why does Paul start talking about prayer here? See, Paul's been calling us as followers of Jesus to put on and grow in Christ-like love. So what does prayer have to do with growing in Jesus-like love? And why would prayer matter? See, one of the challenges of Paul turning to the topic of prayer right here is that it seems like he's just totally changing topics and moving on. It seems like it's disconnected from relationships and everything that Paul's been saying up to this point. But the reality is the topic of prayer is not an addition. In fact, it's essential to how we relate with others. Now, if you're following along with notes this morning, here's the first point and the answer to why does prayer matter? Here's why. Prayer reveals the condition of our hearts. And this is true not only when we're praying, but also when we aren't or don't want to. Now, here's a question for you. Have you ever tried praying for somebody when you're really angry with or you've been hurt by? It's super hard. It really is. And the reason why is because it's really hard to want to love that person in that moment. So, because the reality is on the inside of us, instead of wanting to love them, we actually want to say, hey, I'm going to take my love and affection away from you right now because you know what? You don't deserve it. Yet, if we've given our life and our trust to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is also at work inside of us, and he's whispering to our hearts to trust him and to let him love that other person like Jesus does. See, praying and asking God to help us love like he does can be the turning point in our hearts for how we love and respond to others. And here's why. Because our old sinful nature, because of what's happening where we turn in on ourselves and focus on ourselves, the only way that we can love like Jesus, even when we have been wronged, is through depending on the Holy Spirit to help us. So let me ask you a question. And it's one that can show up even in the midst of conflict. And how we answer can reveal the condition of our hearts. Are we willing to turn to Jesus and pray and ask him, even in the midst of conflict, to help you love and respond to the other person as he would? Or are you wanting things on your terms? And here's a follow-up question. Based on your first response, Are you depending on Jesus to help you? Or are you depending on yourself? Okay. Here's a second point for your notes and why prayer is so important. Prayer aligns our hearts and our desires with God's heart and desires. See, as we pray, God is working on healing and changing our own hearts and desires as much, and sometimes even more, than he is bringing about physical changes or changes in circumstances, which in reality is just as, if not far more important. And as we pray, we express our need and our dependence on God. And what's more, as it begins a conversation with God that can open our eyes to the conditions of our hearts. So as we talk with him in prayer, as we surrender our own plans and our own desires to him and ask him to help us, we actually open up and let the Holy Spirit work in us and through us. In other words, in prayer, we turn and look to Jesus and let him be above all. And as we do, as we look to him, as we love him, our desires and our hearts become more and more like his. So think of it like this. Prayer adds fuel to the fires of Jesus-like love. Prayer does this as we talk with him and get to know him and love him more, and it produces the ability to love others with Jesus-like love. So this is why Paul is calling us in verse 2 to continue steadfastly, or in a different translation in the NIV, it says, to be devoted to prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. In other words, don't give up talking with Jesus. Be devoted to him. Be devoted to talking with him. And as we talk with him more and more, here's what happens in our hearts. We actually want to talk with him more and more. And just like getting to know a friend, the closer that we become with him, the more time we spend time with him, the more thankful we are because of him, and are even aware of what is true or not true of him. And the result is that prayer becomes a normal and ongoing part of our life. So here's a key application. When Jesus is above all, we grow in prayerfulness. Prayer, it's not just an addition or an aside to a relationship with Jesus. It is a critical component. It is the overflow of a life that is growing more deeply in love with Jesus. And as someone looking to care for and disciple others, Paul knows just how important it is. And so as followers of Jesus, he reminds us to grow in prayer. So with that in mind, with that encouragement to be in prayer, Paul then goes on to add a specific and intentional prayer for the Colossians to be praying for him. And it's also, if we look at it, it's why prayer is important to us. So here's something that Paul says, right? He says, at the same time, pray for us that God may open a door for us so that we can walk out of this prison where we are unjustly locked up. No, we might think he would pray that, but here's what he actually prays. He said he asks for prayer that God would open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, and that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. See, we would have expected for Paul to ask prayer to get him out of his situation and circumstances. Because in reality, it was unjust. His imprisonment really was unjust. But instead, we hear Paul focusing on something else entirely different. It's not on himself or on his circumstances, but on the mission of revealing Jesus to others. See, he was laser focused on others hearing and understanding the mystery of Christ, which is Jesus himself. Now, from the outside, we look at this and we're like, dude, Paul, that's crazy. I mean, Paul himself even spent time, he just said it, that the reason why he's locked up in the first place is because he was sharing about Jesus. And here he is praying for opportunities to share Jesus more with even greater clarity, which could put him right back where he is right now in jail or worse. So the question is, like, what gave Paul this ability? Like, why was he praying like this? And what does it mean for us? See, Paul's ability to be devoted to revealing the mystery of Jesus to others, even in hard circumstances, comes from the root of his own identity. So let's briefly jump back to this. This is in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Here's what Paul says, and this is Paul speaking to the church still. He says this: "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, which is Christ seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your," and it could also say our, "life appears, then you will appear with him in glory." See, Paul, when he was looking at his own life, his own identity is Jesus. Jesus is above all in Paul's life. And so Paul is setting his own mind and heart on Christ, even in the midst of and in spite of being in prison. So he had tasted of the goodness and love of Jesus. And even though he once was an enemy of God, who literally, if you read the story of Paul in the book of Acts, he made it his mission and purpose in life to be killing Christians. Like, that was his aim in life. And so Paul is keenly aware of his own sinful nature. And it shows off, it magnifies the goodness of God that Jesus would die for his sins, not only to take away the penalty of sin, but to give him a new relationship with God where he could become his son, and a heart of Jesus-like love towards God and towards others. Paul's identity is rooted in Christ, and it is an identity that he wants to share with others. And so even as he's doing that, he's showing what a life where Jesus is above all looks like. So the question is, what does this mean for us? Here's the next application for your notes. When Jesus is above all, we become passionate about revealing him to others. Now, let me give you a quick example. Have you ever been around or been a teen or a young adult who just started dating? It doesn't take long before they start sharing something that is super cool or super exciting about the person that they started dating. Or how about a person who's in the process of helping their immediate and extended family get to know their significant other, who they're planning to marry? Okay, helping their family get to know them like they do. The initial excitement of that new relationship, that new dating relationship, has moved into a new phase of passionate intentionality. They want other people to know the person that they love. So they're passionate about sharing the goodness of the relationship that they will have with their future spouse. And they want their family to know and experience the good of him or her for themselves. And some of this process happens naturally, and some of it takes intentional effort. In the same way, the more that Jesus becomes above all in our life, the more that we move to a place where our desire to reveal Jesus to others is becoming a growing passion. For Paul, this passion actually spilled over into his focus even in prayers. And so here's another point for your notes. Intentional prayers focus on revealing Jesus to others. That passion bleeds into our prayer life. So not only was he passionate about revealing Jesus to others, he was asking for other believers to pray for him for opportunities to do so and to do so clearly. So Paul's request for prayer gives us a picture of what prayers that have Jesus as a central focus look like, where he's actually becoming above all, even in our priorities in prayer. See, when Jesus is above all, his heart and mission becomes the lens for what and how we pray. In the case of Paul, seeing people come to know, love, and follow Jesus was even more important than his desire to get out of prison. So instead of asking for prayer for his circumstances, he asked for prayer that he would keep spreading the good news of Jesus no matter what. Now, here's the crazy thing, right? If you grew up going to church, or you've been around it for a while, when you hear Paul pray for opportunities to share the mystery of Christ, our minds often put these kinds of prayers into a specific category. We tend to think of them as, this is Paul praying for evangelistic opportunities to share with people who don't know Jesus. In fact, in my first couple of read-throughs of these verses, I got to be honest, and I was reading through 5 and 6 as well, I assumed that that's what Paul was praying, that he was just praying for opportunities with people who hadn't met Jesus. But the reality is, Paul doesn't even mention people who don't have a relationship with Jesus until verse 5. In other words, if we look at this, what Paul is praying for is opportunities to reveal the good news of Jesus with those he doesn't know yet, and he is also praying for opportunities and clarity to reveal Jesus even more with those who already do. It's kind of crazy, right? See, he's asking for opportunities and clear speech to reveal Jesus to everyone in order to make disciples of Jesus who will go and make disciples of Jesus. See, Jesus' heart and mission of making disciples was the lens for what and how Paul prayed. And here's the cool thing. If you think about it, it was because Paul was in prison that he actually wrote the book of Colossians, where he's revealing Jesus to the Colossian church and stirring them on towards Jesus-like love, towards God, and towards each other. Now, at the same time, God is using those words of Paul to the Colossians to do the exact same with us today. See, the entire letter of Colossians is aimed at revealing Jesus so that he would be above all in our lives. So Paul's aim in life, which if we were to go back to the beginning of the book of Colossians, Colossians 1, 28 and 29, was to proclaim Jesus, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom that they may be complete in Christ. And that was infused into the opportunities that he seeks. And it's even at the heart of the prayers he prays for and he wants prayed for himself. The prayers are intentional and they're all about disciple making with followers of Jesus and those who aren't yet. So here's the next blanks. Intentional prayers are disciple-making prayers. So the question is, what if we were to follow the example of Paul as he follows Christ? How would that affect how we pray? And bigger question, what do disciple-making prayers look like? See, disciple-making prayers are prayers that recognize as disciples of Jesus ourselves, where Jesus is at work in our life, changing our life and identities for the better, we get to be a part of doing that same thing in the life of somebody else. They're prayers that not only include asking God to bring about healing and change in circumstances, but they prioritize and intentionally pray for open doors for heart change and a deepening relationship with Jesus in the life of another. See, they even pray for open doors that one person may one day use their story in the life of somebody else. And a reminder, disciple-making prayers aren't just about Jesus doing that in the lives of those who don't know Jesus. They include and impact those who do. their prayers that are passionate about Jesus increasingly becoming above all in the heart and life of somebody else. And their prayers that are intentional about being actively involved in the process. Okay, here's the next one. Intentional prayers assume our role includes sharing Jesus personally. Now, this one's a hard one because it's really where the rubber meets the road when it comes to our own discipleship and our own disciple making. See, Paul's asking for open doors and clarity in revealing Jesus to others. He's passionate about it. He's praying for it, and he's about that mission, and it's shaping his prayer life. However, the mission of making disciples of Jesus, who make disciples of Jesus, wasn't just given to Paul. See, it's given to each and every one of us. It's a part of the DNA of being a disciple of Jesus. We personally have a role to play when it comes to revealing Jesus to others, not only in action, but with our words. And what makes these prayers intentional prayers is not that we're carving out time to pray that others would reveal Jesus, but that we are intentionally praying for our own open doors to reveal Jesus to others with clarity ourselves. Our prayers line up with our own intentionality to reveal Jesus to others. So let me give you an example. As a church community, we support multiple missionaries across the world. We even sent out one of our young adults, Rachel Allen, from our church to France to partner with other missionaries we support, the Gibbons. And they're out on the mission field looking and praying for open doors to reveal Jesus to the people of France with clarity. So in reality, praying for open doors and clarity would be one of the many ways that we can support them and all the missionaries in other countries, even as Paul is asking for the support of the Colossians. However, if we only pray for open doors for people like Rachel and the Gibbons or Andy with Elementum here in the U.S. or even the pastors, the elders, the leaders in the church, which P.S., please be praying for us. Please be praying for our missionaries. But if we only stop there, we miss out on the power of prayer-filled intentionality when it comes to revealing Jesus to others in our own lives. Now, let me pause here for a moment, because I think if we're honest, there's some barriers that kind of come up in our lives when we hear things like this. And I just briefly want to mention two of them. Here's the first one, and I think this one's probably really huge, and the reason why I say that is I've felt it in my own life on many occasions. So here's probably one of the biggest barriers in our lives to praying like this. Fear. Why fear? Because I got to be honest, and I think this is natural to all of us. Somewhere inside of us, our fear leads us to think questions like this. What if I start praying for opportunities to share Jesus with others, and God actually gives me the opportunity to do so? Then what do I do? I wouldn't even know where to begin. Now, when God does provide opportunities to reveal Jesus to someone else, I got to be honest, prayer for God to give us clarity, that one comes super easy right after. Like when we're in the moment, like, okay, God, please help. I know that one very, very well. The hard one is intentionally asking for opportunities to share Jesus personally. See, in our fear, we make a mental list that might go something like this. I can't or shouldn't be the one to share Jesus with someone else because. And then we fill in the blank with things like this. I am a poor communicator. Now, if we were to take a second and go back to the second book of the Bible and look at the life of Moses in Exodus, he thought the same, and God used him to bring the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt and to write the first five books of the Bible. Paul's a poor communicator. I think that's a total testimony to the goodness of God, right? Or we might put in things like, I'm not trained enough yet. Or I'm just a teen. I'm not a pastor. Or I don't have time. Or, You know what? I've blown it in the past, or I'll do more harm than good. Yet the invitation to intentional prayer is also an invitation into trusting Jesus to work in you and through you, regardless of how things seem to go at the moment. It's actually an opportunity to grow in trust with Jesus. And it's also an opportunity to grow in revealing Jesus to someone else. And when we do, we actually grow as disciples and in our ability as disciple makers. Now, here's a second barrier, and we kind of hinted at this one already. It's kind of this belief that disciple making is for somebody else. But if we look at it, disciple making isn't only for those who are in positions of leadership or out on the mission field, but it really is for every one of us as a follower of Jesus. And this means, just like Paul, we need to be pursuing opportunities to reveal Jesus to those who don't know him yet, and to keep revealing him to those who already do. We pray and talk with people with the end goal of Jesus becoming above all in their lives. And understand, that might mean that we have to call people on some hard stuff where there is something keeping them, holding them back in their relationship with Jesus. Are we willing to trust Jesus to help us lovingly do that with somebody else? And I do mean lovingly. How do we trust God in those moments, knowing that he will be with us and help us to do it with clarity and wisdom? And at the end of the day, we're going to grow. See, here's a what if. What if praying for opportunities to reveal Jesus with clarity became an intentional focus for our prayers for ourselves and for others? How might that change how we approach a conversation with somebody else? Or how might it deepen our relationship with that person? Or our relationship and trust with Jesus? And how might it increase our skill and intentionality in disciple making? Here's an encouragement. As we move this way, here's something that truly, truly encourages me, and I'll be honest. Here's a reminder. Remember the example of Paul. See, I would think of all people, Paul would be the last person I would expect to ask for prayer, especially for something like clarity in how he speaks of Jesus. Like, he wrote a lot of the New Testament speaking of Jesus while in prison. And as we follow what God does in and through the life of Paul, it seems like he's always finding opportunities to share Jesus with others, and he does so almost with ridiculous clarity. Yet Paul himself is asking for prayer, and it's not the only time he does. He does it here in Colossians, but he actually does it in other New Testament letters as well. See, Paul knows that the opportunities in front of him and the clarity of speech is empowered by the Holy Spirit working in his life. God is the one creating the opportunities, giving him the eyes to see them, the courage to take advantage of them, and the clarity in how to speak in them. And he even reminds this, he shares this with Timothy, one of the guys that he's mentoring and discipling, in 2 Timothy 1:7. And he says this: God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. He's even reminding Timothy, hey, God is with us. And as followers of Jesus, we too have the Holy Spirit in our lives, who is with us as we pursue opportunities to reveal Jesus to others. He gives us the opportunities, the courage, the abilities, and even the needed clarity as we're placing our trust in Jesus and helping us grow in it too. Which means we can have courage to pray intentional prayers, knowing that God is with us to help us as he answers them. So here's a big application question, and one I want us to really wrestle with as we go forward in this week. Who is someone God wants you to start praying intentional prayers for. Now, students, let me speak to you for a moment here. The school year is just around the corner. Who is someone God might be asking you to pray intentional prayers for? To ask for open doors to speak Jesus into their lives with clarity. And my encouragement, don't wait, start praying now. Because God has lots of opportunities ahead for you to do just that. And what about us as adults, right? Who might God have at work? Or in our family? Or on our kids' sports team? Or maybe in our neighborhood? Or in our DNA or community group? That God wants us to start praying intentional prayers for. And as we leave here, bring those individuals to God in prayer and pray for your own opportunities to reveal Jesus to them. Make Jesus above all as you start praying this week. And watch how God actually draws you closer and closer to himself, removes your fear, and equips you with his Holy Spirit for sharing with others with clarity. So here's a challenge. Let's start praying. And we're going to do it now. Father, there is so much that you love us. You love us so deeply. And you have so many opportunities in front of us, Father. And so often we give in to fear and we miss them. And so, Father, I pray that you would be opening our eyes, opening our hearts to be praying intentional prayers for others. Give us the boldness. Give us the equipping, Father. Help us have the courage. Help us know, even in the moment, how to answer that person, whether that's somebody who knows you already and they need to take another step towards you, or whether it's somebody who doesn't, Father. Because you are a God who is good, who is loving, and who is worth sharing. And Father, remind us more and more of your love, your goodness, and your power, even as you're helping us in the midst of that. Be with us this week, and be with those people that you're placing on our hearts. Help us to help move them towards you as we walk with them. We pray in your name. Amen. As you go from here, I encourage you, if you don't know somebody around you, if there is an unfamiliar face or maybe somebody who's been back after a while, I encourage you, get to know them, spend a couple minutes chatting with them, and take them over for some free coffee. Have a great day.